Jerusalem. On Wednesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers invaded the Hesh refugee camp south of the West Bank city of Bethlehem and clashed with local youth, wounding 5 Palestinians, including one who suffered a head injury. The soldiers also searched homes and abducted a former political prisoner. One of the wounded Palestinians is the son of the governor of Jenin, Lieutenant Ibrahim Ramadan, who was shot after the soldiers fired many live rounds at the family's car. In the meantime, at least 37 Palestinian civilians were detained by Israeli troops during army invasions and home searches targeting West Bank communities on Wednesday at dawn. 11 of those detained were taken by Israeli troops during home searches in several areas of East Jerusalem. Home searches and abductions were also reported in Hebron City, Ramallah, Jenin, and Nablus, local sources reported. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, March 15th, 2017 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
The American Academy of Pediatrics, also known as the AAP, has issued a policy on the egregious care of children in ICE detention centers. They are calling on the government to do more to protect vulnerable children from being re-traumatized. Joining us over the phone, we are speaking with Dr. Julie Linton from the AAP. Hello, Julie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Our pleasure. When did the American Academy of Pediatrics begin investigating health issues in children inside detention centers?
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry.
Oh, pardon me. When did the American Academy of Pediatrics begin investigating health issues in children with children inside detention centers?
The process has been going on for the last couple of years when my colleagues, pediatricians, in partnership with advocacy organizations, began investigating the conditions in detention centers based on the stories we were hearing from the families for whom we were caring in our clinics.
And what is care like for children in the ICE detention centers?
Well, conditions first begin in processing centers like McAllen, where the conditions are so egregious that children may not have bedding, food, or water. They may sleep on cement floors. The temperatures are often cold. Lights are on 24 hours a day. In the family residential centers, otherwise known as the family detention centers, children may be too fearful to leave a mother's side to play outside on playground equipment because they just witnessed their father taken to a separate facility, and they're fearful that their mother will disappear too.
How is it legal for children to be inside of these detention facilities?
Well, the current process by which children undergo as they seek safe haven within our country is that if they come in a family unit, after processing, they're either placed in a family residential center or detention center or released into the community. There have been a lot of efforts to license these processing center, excuse me, these detention centers as child care facilities, and there's been a lot of tremendous advocacy efforts to fight against that. What I would say is that as pediatricians, we know that children fare best in community settings under the direct care of parents and others who love them.
And are there state and federal policies for processing families in detention centers?
Well, the current process, and I'm a pediatrician, not a lawyer, but the current process through which children are processed depends on whether they're coming alone as an unaccompanied child or whether they are coming with a family member in a family unit. The process by which they are put through the system is also dependent on whether they're from a contiguous country, such as Mexico, or a non-contiguous country, such as anything other than Mexico or Canada. And after they are apprehended at our border and go through processing centers, the process diverges for them, depending on whether they're unaccompanied or accompanied, and whether they are coming from a contiguous or non-contiguous country.
And what is the potential for generational trauma in these families and their children?
To be honest with you, that's my greatest fear. So first and foremost, no child should ever be separated from his parents. When children and families are separated, it causes harm to children, and separation from caregiver causes toxic stress in children. When children are scared, it can impact their health and development. As children develop, their brains change in response to environments and experiences. We know that fear and stress, particularly prolonged exposure to serious stress, known as toxic stress, can harm the developing brain and harm short and long-term health. There is no evidence that any time in detention is safe for children. Even short periods of time in detention can cause psychological trauma and long-term physical and mental health risks for children.
For our audience that doesn't know, what exactly is generational trauma?
Well, what we know is that when children are exposed to this serious stress or toxic stress, it can harm their developing brains. In the short term, it can manifest as problems for them as toileting, sleeping, eating, learning, concentration, symptoms of depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress. We also know that in the long run, children who are exposed to early serious stress are more susceptible to heart disease, diabetes, and depression. When we think about generational trauma, we have to think about children today as the parents of tomorrow. So exposing children to horrific and egregious conditions and placing them at risk of separation from their parents threatens not only their current health, but the health of the parents of the next generation.
And what are the AAP's recommendations for how children can seek safe refuge at the U.S. border?
So first and foremost, we know that as pediatricians, children fare best in community settings. And instead of detention, the American Academy of Pediatrics, along with other advocacy organizations, firmly recommends releasing children and their families into the community while their immigration cases proceed. This would end both detention and the placement of those ankle tracking devices on parents. The most important thing is that families should never be separated. We know that this is harmful to children. This includes older siblings, parents, and other family members. One little girl that I took care of described the time during the processing when she was separated from her mother and her younger brother for 3 days alone in a processing center as terrifying. She was unable to stop crying as soon as I asked her about that for the rest of our visit. We know that it's not illegal to come to our border and seek protection. These families are fleeing violence, and they're asking for asylum. This is not the first time in our nation's history that people have sought safe refuge here while fleeing from war or violence. We need to treat children and families who seek refuge compassionately and avoid imposing additional trauma while their immigration cases proceed.
And do any immigrant children have any specific rights?
So based on the International Rights of the Child, we believe, and pediatricians, that for the moment they're in the custody of the United States, children should have access to health care. Now, once released from custody, there are only a handful of states that provide Medicaid coverage regardless of legal status, specifically California, New York, Illinois, Washington, Massachusetts, and the District of Columbia. So in many places, this becomes a barrier to their care. But fortunately, in many communities, there are systems set up through which families can access health care pending their immigration proceedings. One right that all children have is that all children in the United States have a free right to free public education, regardless of their immigration status. The American Academy of Pediatrics also firmly believes that children should have access to legal representation in all immigration proceedings. However, that's not currently the case. And many children who are facing immigration proceedings are forced to represent themselves in court alone.
And Dr. Linton, we just have about a minute left, but I was wondering if you could let our listeners know if there's any way they could help or raise awareness about children in ICE detention centers and the trauma that's occurring to them.
I'm so glad that you asked that. I would say that first and foremost, to change the language that's being used to describe these children, to remind people that as mothers and as parents, what it might be like to be in a circumstances where we were fearing for the life, health, and education of our children, that we see these families not as illegals, but as parents who are scared with children who are scared, parents who want a better life, a safe life, and a hopeful life. It's not a choice they're making. If you're fleeing violence, threatening the life of your child, you're not making a choice. You're making a decision to protect your baby. So get on social media, learn more about the process, read the American Academy of Pediatrics policy statement, read the beautiful statement that came out from my colleagues at the Women's Refugee Commission and KIND, which is Kids in Need of Defense, that just put out a beautiful statement about not separating families at the border. And learn more about this and change the language so that we as Americans can be fighting for the collective prosperity of children and families.
Oh, thank you so much. That was Dr. Julie Linton from the American Academy of Pediatrics. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Tom Flim, Kim Hack, Demi Hellenius, Al Kahn, and Grace Ann Smith. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News Director is Zelos Marchand. And the Evening Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, on KBOO, tune in at 7 a.m. for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting, Ani and Lynn will welcome your calls. And at 9, on Veterans Voice, Angie and Marvin welcome back Navy vet Jonathan Hutto to discuss the Marine Corps' growing social media scandal. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia will be on with headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 a.m. tomorrow, Between the Lines Radio will present the 40-year history of radical activism and some useful lessons for today's Trump resistance movements. At 11:30 tomorrow, Making Contact looks at reclaiming public schools, such topics as major changes in state curriculum and where schools nationwide may be headed under Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not yet a current member, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Matthew. Good night, Grace Ann.
Night, guys.
The KABU Community Radio Artists in Residence Program application period is open. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KABU mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The Artists in Residence program is open to artists of all disciplines whose project proposals include sound as a major component. Applications for the KABU 2017 Artists in Residence are due Friday, April 7th. More information can be found at kabu.fm/kabuair2017.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Gospel of Loving Kindness at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland. The Gospel of Loving Kindness is a play by Marcus Gardley based on the true story of 15-year-old Hadiyah Pendleton, who was killed in Chicago after performing at the presidential inauguration in 2013. This play runs from March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. Again, that's The Gospel of Loving Kindness, March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, 5340 North Interstate in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up next is Rose City Native Radio.
You are listening to